Appreciate those kids singing. My, what a blessing that was. I hate to have to follow that, to be honest with you. But had several ask me if I would sing, and I don't do a lot of singing by myself. Most of the time it's with my family. But I'll try to do one for you tonight and hope I can be a blessing to you. And the preacher's already said, Lord's blessed, been writing a few songs down through the years, never started out to be a songwriter, just started writing stuff and singing it. Next thing you know, other people started singing it. Now, that ain't that amazing how that works? But anyway, this is a song that I wrote. As a matter of fact, I was with these two young preachers over here today. We had lunch together, and they was talking about this song, and I'm going to do this song. I wrote this a few years ago. I wrote it on a Saturday. I was having a Saturday that every pastor has on occasion. Every time the phone rang, it was trouble. Somebody was in trouble. Somebody needed help. They had situations going on, and I couldn't fix none of it. And I was so overwhelmed that day. I mean, just this one had a problem, that one had a problem, and just I couldn't fix none of it. I finally went out to my place of prayer, and I just vented to God. I said, God, I can't fix this. I can't straighten this out. I can't take care of this. I said, I don't know what to do. And it's like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, this is what you should have done all along. You should have brought it all to me. And how many times do we just need to take stuff to the Lord? And I wrote this song that day called Bring It All to Him. When troubles come against me, I feel so overwhelmed. When it seems the more I'm trying, that my troubles seem to swell. When I've reached the end of me, and my faith is growing dim, I hear a still voice whisper, just bring it all to Him. I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. In the throne room of my Savior, I find a sweet relief. I find strength to bear my burden. I find comfort for my grief. When my cup is overflowing, as He fills it to the brim, what a blessed consolation when I bring it all to Him. I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. Boldly at the throne of God, just fall down on your knees. He will hear your troubled cry and meet your every need. If you'll bring it all to Him, when no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him.
Amen. I'm glad we can tonight. I'll do a little bit of another one that I wrote a few years ago. The Inspirations recorded this song, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I wrote this song. We were in a battle in our little town over the Ten Commandments being in the courthouse. Some fellow went to complaining about it that had moved there, and he was trying to get them to take the Ten Commandments down out of the courthouse. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, men have fought against the Word of God down through the ages, but they've all come and gone. But God's Word still stands. And I wrote this song, hope it'd be a blessing. What has happened to a nation that used to fear the Lord, to a people whose foundation was built upon God's Word? We've allowed the world's opinion to chart a different way, but it's time the Church of Jesus Christ should boldly stand and say, God's Word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's Word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's Word will stand. They can take it from the courthouse walls, remove it from the schools, teach our children that we're animals, speak against the golden rule, try and hide our Christian heritage from the public eye, but they'll never overcome God's Word, no matter how they try. God's Word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's Word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's Word will stand. It is forever settled to evermore endure. It's the only way a sinner's heart could ever be made pure. God's Word will stand against the raging tide of those who criticize and work their evil plans. God's Word will stand against the gates of hell with power to prevail in the hearts of men. God's Word will stand. God's Word will stand. God's Word will stand. Amen.
I'm glad that His Word will stand. It'll stand when the world's on fire.
And I appreciate the Lord tonight. Hope those songs were a blessing. I probably one of the greatest things I enjoy in this life is writing songs and singing. And the Lord only knows how many I've written driving down the road headed to a meeting somewhere. And sometimes a moment of inspiration will hit you at the most inopportune time. I was telling these young preachers today, 2 weeks ago, I was in a revival meeting in Kingsport, Tennessee. It's about an hour and 40-minute drive for me each night. And I was coming through Elizabethton, Tennessee. Hadn't been thinking about writing a song at all. I had the radio on. I was listening, actually, on satellite radio. I was listening to Sean Hannity on the radio and fussing about politics. And he had some music on the front of his program, no singing, it was just music. And when I heard that rhythm and that, some words started coming into my head. And now I know that's hard for some of y'all to believe that something would come into my head, but But anyway, I pulled over and I wrote down what I started getting. And by the time I got to the church that night, I had a chorus and a verse wrote for a song. More unusual than any song I've written. It's not a subject matter that I have ever written a song on. And by the next night in the meeting, I had the song completed. And I sang it for the preacher, and I was telling them I had some fellows working on a track for me this week in Nashville on it. And so it's unreal when things like that happen. I'll go through spells that I won't write nothing for a long time. And then all of a sudden, it just seems like, and the truth of the matter is many of the songs I've written have come out of hard places, low places. Several songs. The song that I wrote, and some of you may have heard the inspirations, did the song "I Found a Faithful Friend." That came out of a very low place that I was in. And it got to the point I was writing so many of those type songs, my wife looked at me one day and she said, "I sure wish the Lord would let you write a happy song." Because, see, she understood what we had to go through to get those songs. But that song, "I Found a Faithful Friend," I was driving one day to a meeting and a friend of mine sent me a video that he had taken, and it was on the satellite radio, and it was the Gospel Grace with Paul Heil. And on that show, they have a segment called Listener Favorites, and that people can call in and request their favorite song. And all of a sudden, this man spoke up. They said, "Now we have our favorite listener, and he's up north somewhere." I don't know what city this man was in. But he said, "I'd like to request the song 'I Found a Faithful Friend' by the Inspirations." He said, "Several years ago," he said, "I completely lost my sight." He said, "I'm totally blind now. I wasn't born blind, but I'm totally blind now." And he said, "The last few years of my life have been the most difficult days of my life. But," he said, "I have found it to be true that I have found a faithful friend. And whenever it seems like I don't have anybody," he said, "I have Jesus." And I heard that man's testimony, and I said, "Well, that song came out of a low place, and it helped a brother that was in a low place." And I'm glad God will do that. And the Lord has helped me to write some happy songs. As a matter of fact, I've wrote one that our choir's learning to sing, kind of a happy song. And then I love to hear preachers preach, and sometimes a preacher's sermon will inspire thought for a song. Had a preacher friend of mine, Brother Charles Worley. Some of you may know Brother Worley. He's one of my heroes. And he was talking one night at a camp meeting. He said, "There's a lot of places I can go." He got to naming places he could go. And he said, "But there's one place I can't go." And he said, "I can't go to hell, because I've been saved by the grace of God." And I ended up writing a song on "I Can't Go to Hell." Now, I know that tears a lot of people's nerves up, because they think they're helping God get them there, and they're keeping theirself. That's funny. If you couldn't save yourself, you can't keep yourself. I'm glad he's the one that does the saving and the keeping. Now, we're supposed to live right, and I believe in living right. But I wrote that little song. It goes kind of like this. "I can go to California with the many sights to see. I can go to New York City, see the Statue of Liberty. I can catch a plane to Paris, France, and that would be real swell. But there's just one place I can't go. I can't go to hell. I can't go to hell. My name's been written down in the blessed book of life, and now I'm glory bound. When Jesus saves a sinner, his grace can never fail. No matter what the devil says, I can't go to hell." Amen. Amen. So that's a happy song, isn't it? Amen. I could stand here and sing for 30 minutes just a montage of songs from down through the years, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I appreciate the Lord, and you pray for me that God will help me to continue to be able to write. I go a lot of places, and I've been in church services and camp meetings, and I was in South Carolina in a camp meeting preaching, and a youth choir got up about 60 strong in a youth choir. And I had never seen them, they had never seen me, and all of a sudden they began to sing a song called "It's Under the Blood." And they had no idea that I was the one that wrote it. And they sang it that night. And after the moderator got up to introduce me, he said, "Now, I know most of you don't know Brother Leonard." But he said, "Brother Leonard wrote that song that the choir just sang. It's Under the Blood." And those kids that night, man, I'll tell you what, they came. I bet you I signed 50 Bibles that night. And I thought, what a blessing is it to write a song that impacts young people in that way. And I appreciate the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 17, that's enough about singing and songwriting tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17. And I want to give you a simple thought, just a simple message. You've figured out I'm just a simple preacher. But I preach to a lot of folks that just enjoy simple preaching. And I'm glad for that. 1 Kings chapter 17, in the story that we're reading, we find the first introduction in the Bible to the man of God by the name of Elijah. And here in chapter 17, we find Elijah coming on the scene, and he's forecasting a drought upon the land because of the sin of Ahab. And the Bible says in verse number 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Now skip, if you will, to chapter 19. Chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse number 1. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me now for just a few minutes as I bring this message. God, would you speak to every heart that's here, and we'll give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I've always enjoyed the study of the man of God known as Elijah, the prophet of fire. And if you're writing a story about somebody's life, there's a lot of things. If I was writing a story about Elijah's life, there are many things that you would have to include in this story. Of course, you would have to include the fact that he was known as the prophet of fire because of the great contest on Mount Carmel, how that God showed himself to be the true and living God, how Elijah forecasted. Matter of fact, Elijah gave the most famous weather forecast in history. He stepped up on Ahab's doorstep one day, and he said, it's not going to rain. I'm talking about 3.5 years. I'm talking about a forecast. That's the first thing he really did. He gave a weather forecast, praise God. I've often said this. I said, if people would pay as much attention to the preacher as they do the weatherman, because the weatherman, he can tell you what it's going to be like, and you believe him. And most of the time, he misses it. But now, if your preacher misses it one Sunday, you want to complain about him. The weatherman can even tell you how to dress. He'll say, you need to dress such and such way today. And you don't ever get mad at him. But if the preacher says something about that, you get crossways with him. Amen. Amen. So we need to treat the preacher like we do the weatherman. But here he is. He's given a weather forecast. You can say many things about Elijah. But here, what I really want to focus tonight, if you're writing the story of someone's life, if I was writing a story about my life, there'd be highlights, there'd be things, the day I got married, the birth of my children, I would include all of those things, all of us would. But is there any one of us in here, if you wrote your life story, that you would detail meals that you ate? When I think about that, I've eaten a lot of meals in my life. You can tell by looking at me that I have. I've enjoyed all of them. But the fact of the matter is there's not one meal that really sticks out in my mind. Now, I've got my favorite, what I like to eat, and everybody does. But as far as a meal that really sticks out in my mind, I couldn't write a story and tell you that this was a highlight meal. Now, there's been a few times I've fellowshiped with God's men, and that might be included in that. But here in the story of Elijah, we not only see the contest on Mount Carmel, we see that God helped him here with a widow, but in these three episodes that we read here in the Word of God, God gives us three different meals that Elijah ate. I remember a few years ago, I was in Mountain City. It was in the winter, and we had a big snow. We had about a foot of snow on the ground, and everybody was snowed in, and I was in my four-wheel drive truck, and I was going down the four lane. There wasn't much traffic on the road because it was just bad conditions. And there's a little pizza place on the right there, Pizza Plus. And on their sign that day, as I was driving through snowy conditions and everybody snowed in, on their sign, this is what it said. It said, snowed in, and it had question mark. And then right below that, it said, we deliver. I thought about what a blessing when you're snowed in with a foot of snow. And I know it wasn't a blessing to the delivery man. But anyway, they said, if you can't get to us, we'll get to you. And I thought about, that's not a new idea. Because God has been in the delivery business a long time before the pizza place ever got that idea. I begin to think about that. I'm preaching on this subject tonight on the three meals and what it shows us about God in all of our lives. I'm preaching on the subject on a God that still delivers in desperate times. You're talking about a time there's a drought in the land, the people are dying, and boy, I tell you, things are getting bleak, everything's dried up, but here's a God that's still able to deliver in the most desperate of times, and I'm glad that he's not changed any, amen. I don't know how bad it is where you're at or how bleak the situation may look, but I'm glad there's a God that can still deliver in your need tonight. I think about this. I'm going to give you these three meals. The first meal we find is after he has forecast this weather that's going to happen or not happen, had the Bible said God came to him, the Spirit of God came to him, the Word of God said, now go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And he said, I have commanded the ravens. Aren't you glad we serve a God that the birds obey him? Amen. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. And I want you to notice this next word, there. He said, I've got a place for you. You're going to hide there. And he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There ain't no grocery stores down by the Brook Cherith. There ain't a 7-Eleven. There's no restaurants down there. But God said, I'm sending you to a place where on the surface it looks like there's no way for you to be sustained, but I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I can imagine Elijah on that first day as he gets down there, he's kind of interested how this thing's going to work. It may have been getting close to mealtime, and he's thinking, man, I don't know what's going to happen. All of a sudden he looked up in the sky, and here comes a formation of birds. Now these are not just any birds. It's not the normal birds that would bring you. These are the unclean birds. I'm glad God can take an unclean bird and make him feed God's children. Amen. Can I say to you right now, here they are. I can imagine Elijah's there, and all of a sudden here those birds drop bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Now that is a miracle. It would have been a miracle if it had only happened one time. But the fact of the matter is, most commentators believe that Elijah stayed by the brook for an entire year, 365 days, morning and night. God's train was running right on schedule. Amen. I call this the meal of just because. You say, why did he get this meal? Just because he was where God told him to be. Amen. Oh yeah, he said, I'm going to feed you there. You know why some folks haven't got help this week? Because they ain't been there. Oh yeah, you know why? In our churches you have a meeting, and if they'd only be there, they could get some help. I got news for you right now. God has a place that he wants all of us to be. And if you'll get in that place, God will give you what you need. Hallelujah to his name. I can imagine this. You know, the U.S. Air Force, man, they got them precision bombers. And man, they can got them laser sights and they can lock onto a target. But I have a feeling, praise God, Elijah didn't have to get up and walk 100 yards to get that meal. Those birds dropped it right to where he didn't have to put no effort out. Amen. I'm here to tell you there's a God that'll give you something simply because he said he would. There's a lot of blessings in our life. We didn't do a thing to earn them. We didn't do a thing to deserve them, but because God promised he would bless us. He's a God of just because. Amen. It's those blessings that come out of the blue. Amen. Have you ever had a blessing just drop out of the blue on you? You wasn't expecting it. You didn't know how was going to get there, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, here it would come. I got news for you. There's been a few times God's dropped a blessing in my life. I didn't see it coming. Boy, it just came out of the blue, and it wasn't because I was worthy of it. It wasn't because I'd done anything special to deserve it, but it's because he's a special God that is faithful to his promises to his children. Hallelujah. I'm glad he'll feed us with the meal of just because. Some of the things you're enjoying tonight, simply because God promised he would take care of you. Oh yeah, there's the second meal that I see here. Not only is he there by the brook Cherith, and the Bible said this, that he stayed there till the brook dried up. The Bible don't say anything about the birds stopped coming. But it's hard to eat bread and flesh if you ain't got something to drink. And the word of the Lord came to him again and said, now, he said, I want you to arise and go to Zarephath. Now I want you to notice this. He said, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. God's been talking to the birds and they've obeyed him. And now he's got a widow woman he's been talking to and she's going to obey him. Amen. What a God we serve. That he not only commands humans, he commands the animal kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. I'm here to tell you we serve a mighty God tonight. And Elijah, the Bible said, he got up and he headed to Zarephath. Zarephath means a place of refining. And when he got to the gate of the city, sure enough, just like God said it would be, there was a widow woman there, and she's gathering some sticks together. And things are looking pretty bleak. Matter of fact, she's the least of the community, and all of a sudden, Elijah said, hey, would you fetch me some water? He must have been from the south, praise God. Fetch is a good southern word. I like them good southern words in my Bible. I like it where Paul said, for I reckon. Amen. Amen. I can identify with that. Amen. but he said, fetch me some water. And the Bible said she's going to get that water. While she's going, he said, hey, would you bring me a morsel of bread? And here's where she began to share how bleak her situation is. She turned to him. She says, I have not a cake. I have not a morsel of bread. She said, I've got a little handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And I've got these two sticks here. And I'm preparing a last meal for me and my son. And we're going to die. Now I'm talking about a bleak situation. When you are preparing your last meal, you and your son, there's nothing left. You said everybody's dying around us in this drought, and here we are. This is it for us. But then all of a sudden, Elijah said this. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You bake me a little cake first. Here is the first inclination we have in the Word of God that Elijah was a Baptist preacher. A woman's getting ready to prepare her last meal. He said, make me a cake first. He had to be a Baptist preacher. And then I believe I've got scriptural proof that she wasn't Baptist. You say, how come? Because the Bible said she went and did as the man of God said. I've not seen too many Baptists that do that. And so I believe I could make the argument, she must have not been Baptist because she went and did as the man of God said. And the Bible said that when she went and made that little cake, and she gave it to Elijah, God touched her meal barrel. I call this the meal. The first one was just because, the meal of just because. The second one is the meal of just enough. Amen. It wasn't a big cake. Here's a little cake. Let me tell you something right now. We are in a nation, we have been so blessed and so prospered, we've lost the ability to be thankful for the just enough blessings. If the barrel's not overflowing, we want to grumble. People say, well, I tell you what, after I paid my bills, I didn't have nothing left. You ought to thank God you had enough to pay your bills. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm glad he's a God of just enough. Amen. I'm glad he can run the barrel over, but during this time of drought, every time she'd go to the barrel, there'd be a handful, and she'd make a cake, and then she'd think, well, that's it, and she'd go back to the barrel, and there was another handful in it. Amen. Just enough. I'm glad, praise God, every day of our life. I'm glad he's a God that sustains us. And I'm glad he's a God that helps us. Boy, there's been a few times things look pretty bleak. There's been a few times that it seemed like I was coming up short. But I'm glad there's a God that's always been a God of just enough. Hallelujah to his name. I'll never forget, I was just a young preacher. I wasn't pastoring at this time. I was still working in the supermarket business. I worked 17 years for Harris Teeter supermarket chain. And we were working 12-hour shifts. I worked in the grocery department. And it was a Friday. Thursday. Friday was payday, and it was on Thursday. You know what it's like the day before payday. We got paid every 2 weeks. And the day before payday, when you don't make a lot of money, back in them days, my little family was just starting out and didn't make a lot of money. But you know what it was, the day before payday, usually you was flat busted the day before payday. And it was one such day in my life, and we were working around there. Some of the fellows I worked with in the same shopping center, there was a Hardee's restaurant, and they looked, it came dinner time, they said, hey, you want to go with us? We're going over to Hardee's to get something to eat. Well, I had too much pride to tell them that day that I didn't have no money. So I made some kind of excuse. I said, I believe I'll just work around here a little while. Y'all go on without me. And I'll be honest with you, I was hungry, but I didn't. I just had some change in my pockets, all I had. And I said, I'll make it somehow or another today. I'll work through this 12-hour shift. And I was there working around, and they'd went on. And after a little while, I got to thinking, and I looked at that change in my pocket. I said, you know, I think I've got enough to buy a cup of coffee. And I said, if I could get a little Baptist holy water. Yeah. That's my favorite drink, coffee. And I told him, if I ever get in the hospital, I'm going to see if they can't put an IV in. I love my coffee. But anyway, that day I said, if I can get a little coffee, I believe that'll give me enough energy to get through the day, even though I ain't got enough money to buy nothing to eat. So I set out across the parking lot, and I'm headed over there. I've got enough change just to buy a cup of coffee. And all of a sudden, as I was walking through the parking lot, I heard somebody call my name. And when I looked around, I looked, and it was a little lady that I knew, and she's always just sickly. I mean, just and from one of the poorest families in our county. And when she called my name, I walked over. I said, well, hey, Dorothy. I said, how you doing? And she said, preachers, I'm not doing good. She said, I've been to the doctor and said, my dad's in the drugstore there getting my medicine. She said, I just wanted to get you to pray for me. And I said, well, I'll do that. Dorothy's precious lady. I'm talking about just precious, but she's always sickly and always, I'm just, like I said, very poor family. And I said, I will, Dorothy, I sure will. She said, you're a blessing to me. She said, your family's singing's a blessing to me. And I said, I appreciate that. I talked to her for just a little bit, and I said, well, Dorothy, I'm going to have to go. My lunch break's going to be up here in a minute. I said, I'll see you later. And she said, I appreciate you. And as I started to walk off, I walked off, and all of a sudden she spoke again. And she said, preacher? And I walked back over. I said, yes. She said, Lord's laid on my heart to give you this. And she stuck her hand out the window like that right there. And I didn't know what she was giving me. But I stuck out my hand. I took it. And I could tell when she put it in my hand that it was paper money. I didn't know how much it was. I just stuck it in my pocket. And I said, thank you, Dorothy. I appreciate that. And I'll be honest with you. I wanted to look at it so bad I couldn't stand it. But I said, I'm going to wait till I get away from where she can see me before I look at it and see what it is. Because here I am headed over. I'm not going to be able to eat today. I'm just going to buy me a cup of coffee. And I'm walking, and all of a sudden, out of the blue again, here's a woman calls my name, one of the poorest women I know. And when I got to where I could, I pulled it out and I opened up my hand, and it was two crumpled up $1 bills. It was $2. You say, well, that's not real impressive, preacher. Well, all these years later, almost 25 years later, I'm still talking about it because that day it was just enough. God could have given me $200 that day if he'd have wanted to. He could have given me $2,000 that day if he wanted to. But that day, I looked and I said, well, I got enough for a cup of coffee and a hamburger now. Hallelujah to his name. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Them just enough blessings are some of the biggest blessings you will ever have in your life. That little faithful saint, as she would send me a letter each month when I was on the radio, and she always sent prayer requests. All of her family, we've all been sick and we've all got this. And every month, like clockwork, as long as she was alive, every month I'd get that little old letter with that little scraggly writing of hers. And inside that letter, every month, would be two $1 bills. Amen. Every month, there's been days my head was hanging low and the devil was riding me hard. And there'd come a little old letter in the mail. And I'd open it up and there's them $2. And I said, God is a God of just enough. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, he'll give it to you just because he's a faithful God. And I'm glad he'll give you just enough when you need it. Hallelujah. To carry you on down the road. Oh, the second meal is the meal of just enough. Don't forget to thank God for the just enough blessings. And then the final meal, you find that after the drought has raged on, finally God tells Ahab, or Elijah said, you go to Ahab, tell him, you're going to have a contest. And you know the story, the contest on Mount Carmel. You know how that after Elijah won the contest, the prophets of Baal, he slew the prophets of Baal. And the Bible said that Jezebel found out what had happened and she sent a word to him, said, I'm going to take care of you, boy. And the Bible said Elijah did what anybody with common sense would do. He took off a running and he headed into the wilderness, a day's journey. And the Bible said he'd come to a juniper tree. You're thinking, Elijah's probably thinking, man, I've just won the contest on Mount Carmel. Everybody's wanting to book me for revival now. And man, everybody's talking about, did you see that preacher had the fire of God on him? And now all of a sudden, here he has got a death threat on him. And Elijah goes and he sits down under a juniper tree. He's wore out. He's weary. And he's writing out his resignation. He said, God, it's enough. Take me. He said, it's enough. See, this is the thing about it. You need to understand this. In your journey, there's going to be times that every one of you are going to come to your it's enough place. And you're going to be telling God, it's enough. It's enough. In Elijah's mind, this is where it ends, underneath this juniper tree. But God had other plans for Elijah. And I've got news for you. He's got other plans for you. About the time you think you're going to throw up your hands and quit, God is a God. I want you to notice what happened. He fell asleep under the juniper tree. And the Bible said that an angel touched him. Woke him up. And what did it tell him to do? Said, arise and eat. I can almost hear that angel saying, delivery, delivery. And he looked, and there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And the Bible said that Elijah got up and he went and ate. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You are wore out, slap tired when an angel wakes you up. You get up and eat and then go back to sleep. I believe if an angel wakes me up tonight in the middle of the night, I'm just going to sit and stare at that rascal for about 30 minutes before I do anything. Amen. But he didn't even faze him. And he went back to sleep. The angel touched him again and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. The first meal was the meal of just because. The second meal was the meal of just enough. And this is the meal of just in time. Hallelujah. I'm glad when you're about ready to throw in the towel. I'm glad when you're writing out your resignation. I'm glad when you're saying it's enough and I can't go any farther. This is what I like about it. In that second meal, he got a little cake. But in this meal, the Bible just said it was a cake. Didn't say nothing about it being little. He got the cake and he got to eat it too. Amen. I'm glad there's a God. I'm glad when you need it the most, he'll bake you a cake. This is what I like about it. Not only was there a cake baking, the Bible said, on the coals. Wonder who in the world built a fire. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, when you're cold and weary, ready to throw in the towel, God will bake you a cake, build a fire, encourage you along the way. I'm glad he's the God of just in time. Amen. There's been a few times I felt like I was on my last legs. There's been a few times I felt like I couldn't go on another day. And then all of a sudden, here come God delivering something to me that would give me strength for another day. Hallelujah to his name. I'm glad to tell you tonight there's a God that's able. This journey, he said, the journey's too great for thee. He said, Elijah, I know you're thinking this is the end right here, but there's a whole lot of journey left. As a matter of fact, this meal right here, you talk about a cake. I'd like to get a piece of that cake. You say, what kind of cake you reckon it was, preacher? I'm kind of assuming it was angel food cake. That's just I'm drawing an assumption there. I have no Bible to prove it. But if an angel wakes you up and he's baked a cake, but I have a feeling it's some kind of recipe he used. Because he ate that and went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that meat. I'm talking about, you talk about, praise God. Everybody says, well, if I could just get me a Red Bull, I believe I can make it through the day. What you need is an angel to bake you a cake, praise God. You run 40 days and 40 nights, amen. I'm here to tell you that he is a God of just in time. I don't know about you. Of all the things God could tell us about Elijah, he told us about three meals. But he told us about those meals to not show us about Elijah. He told us about those meals to show us about our Heavenly Father. He's the God of just because. If you'll be, some of you right now say, well, I'm trying to be faithful. You need to be. Because he said, he told Elijah, said, I'm going to feed you there. Be in your place. Be where God can bless you. There's a lot of times he drops blessings and people ain't there to get them. Amen. But I'm glad, praise, I don't know about you, I want to be in that place, that there place. I want to be there so that God, that meal of just because God's a faithful God. And then that meal of just enough. I don't want to ever get to the point that I fail to thank him for just enough. When you're counting out your change jug to pay a bill, and there's just enough there, You ought not just thank him. You ought just step back and shout a little bit. So I didn't have a lot left over. No, but there's just enough. You ought to thank him for those just-in-time blessings. When you feel like you're at your last legs of the journey, I'm glad he's a God that'll be there just in time. Father, thank you for what you've done for us tonight. Thank you for how you've helped us. I pray, God, that you'd take this message now to the hearts of this people. Lord, help us all. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that needs a just enough blessing. Maybe somebody here tonight that, Lord, just in time, they need you to deliver something in their life. And God, I beg you tonight as we, Lord, prepare for this invitation. And Lord, as they get the song, whatever they're going to do tonight, Lord, I pray, would you help us all? Lord, we thank you that you're a God of just because. God, you promised it and you fulfilled it. And God, I thank you for those blessings that have come my way that I didn't deserve. I didn't earn them. A lot of times I wasn't near worthy of them. But you gave them to me because you're a faithful God. And you said you'd supply all our need according to your riches and glory. And Father, I thank you for those times when it seemed like I was going to come up short, but there was just enough. And I thank you for that. And Lord, for all the times I felt like giving up, and there you were just in time. Lord, I pray, would you help us all, Lord, tonight? And I pray, God, would you speak to every heart and, Lord, do a work and grace in every heart and life here tonight. And Father, we're going to give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, let's stand tonight. And I want to ask you, some have already gathered here as they're getting a song to play and sing tonight. I want to ask you, as God spoke to your heart tonight, how many of you can think of a time when God just supplied what you needed just in time? How many of you can think of a time when God just gave you just enough? And boy, the times he's been so faithful. And it may be you just want to thank him for those times tonight. It may be you just want to come and say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're a faithful God. Even when I've not been faithful, you've been faithful. And I wonder tonight as they sing tonight, whatever you got, brother, obey the Lord. Yes, Lord, help us, Jesus. You come tonight as they sing. God, speak into your heart. You come on tonight. Let him help you tonight. If you've got a burden, he'll help you. Oh, yes. If you're here and you've got a need in your life, he'll help you tonight. If you need to be saved, he'll help you. I wonder, would there be somebody else tonight? You say, preacher, I want to come. God's been faithful to me, preacher. Oh, he's helped me. I could tell you story after story of how he's supplied needs. And I'm glad that I'm not the only one he's supplied them for. But I'm glad he's supplied them for all of us. His mercies are new every day. He daily loadeth us with benefits. I'm glad he's a good God. I'm glad he's a faithful God. He's a God that honors his promises tonight. I wonder tonight how many more say, preacher, I want to come and ask God to help me. Maybe you've got somebody you need to pray for tonight. Why don't you come and bring that burden to the altar tonight? Let him help you. I wonder how many more. Oh, yes. Yes, you obey God tonight.
Knows how these messages have helped you and I and those people watching by way of internet, and those people that will watch. Thank you, brother. From mine, the Lord, for delivering to us what God told you to deliver us this week. What a blessing. We keep praying for Brother Fletcher as he travels. He's got a wonderful jubilee coming up week after next, I believe. Work all year long to get around to that. And in fact, he said if the people didn't come in and help the church that he's got, they couldn't do all this. People come in from all over. So.